Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, January 12, 2021, and this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio. And as always, our theme is an analysis and an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism, an anatomy of the American capitalist system. And as always, we emphasize and give updates on our political prisoners in the death camps. But before we start off, we always honor
Professor Louis, poet, in honor of the poetry and honor of our first poet, Lynn Stewart. Professor Louis. Your mic is open, but before we do, we're going to talk about what's happening. Ralph Pointer, what's happening? And the question is, what has happened? And the following question is, what will happen? And the answer is nothing. Why nothing? Because we have the continuation of the administration, the Obama administration, that was expected to and hinted that former President Bush would be punished for causing many American soldiers' death and disabilities and the death of many Iraqi citizens based on exposed lies by British Prime Minister Tony Blair and former President Bush. One of the early statements by President Obama was, punishment of former President Bush was off the table, as was other expected presidential actions. Much discussion around what was expected from President Obama by those who elected him is necessary. We can't do that tonight. He may not have been elected had people not expected certain actions. President Biden, along with other neocons, will say, as President Obama said, I'm going to look forward, not backward. It's off the table. We have coming into Congress two representatives from Georgia representing the Democratic Party. One, Reverend Raphael Warnock, stated, I am representing all of Georgia, not only those who voted for me, as President Obama did. We have experienced the result of that thinking and those attitudes. Therefore, my conclusion is nothing will happen from government in response to January 6, 2021. Hopefully, this lack of action will be educational for many among us. And remember this? No national health care program through several administrations. Remember, the policy on Puerto Rico is the same for the Obama and Trump administration. Remember, immigration policy, Obama quietly, Trump loudly, is the same. Our call should be free Leonard Peltier, free Julian Assange. This we should continue in our struggle, and it will be the same struggle through different administrations. There will be the same results if we are not born again as political people, incorruptible, and looking forward to an anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist America. My brothers and sisters, thank you for your time. And next up, in honor of our dear Lynn Stewart, our fantastic Professor Louis. Professor Louis, your mic is open.
All right. This is a tone poem from way back home. It's a loan from me to you, consecrated, dedicated to the guy who sells knishes on the beach, within reach of everyone out there in the sun. Check your mind each time he passes by. You got no choice. You hear his voice cry, knishes, ice cold soda here, cold soda here. Hottest day of the year, sun burning down, skin cancer bound. You're frying, just lying around. And this guy is going to try to carry this humongous cooler. Ice soda, don't let it fool you, it's heavy as hell. There's no ice cream truck bell. He got to tell you again and again. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, never fear, your wishes come true. A whole lot of delicious knishes for you, even if they're not really hot. It's food, dude, brought with a song, wicked and strong. He's not no ding-a-dong, he's kicking the gong. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, the year 2019, like a bad dream, a man got to drag a bag of hot knishes, a two-ton cooler, it's not much fun, kind of peculiar, this is his fate, early and late on this great beach of recreation, inebriation and exploitation, the congregation of untold thousands of souls, young and old, and Coney Island, this land is my land, this land is your land, but this guy got jammed, got to haul his butt, about to bust a gun. rut, feet digging a rut, the pain of the strap on his shoulder. Where's the game? Getting older by the minute. What you think's in it? How many knishes does it take to make the minimum wage? How many sodas he got to deal to buy himself a meal? Kind of beat, feel the heat through his feet on the burning sand. Just a man doing what he can to live, to have something to give. And it don't take long. He gives back the song. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, it's clear and pure, the sure sound going down of someone doing his job. It's no sob story, better go and make a video from his song. It's right, not wrong, Your Honor, forget Madonna, film this guy. Let his song fly through the world of pearl, true blue, cut through this life with a knife, and give us a slice of the real McCoy, my boy on the beach with something to teach. One of millions on the many hot suns across this earth. The worth of every little thing, every hour, every minute. The worth comes from the work we put in it. No limit. Days and days to praise those who give so much and touch so little in return. But the home fires will burn, Zion's train will turn around, you will lay your knishes down, even if it's only that 1 minute when you're not lonely, when the sun runs down the sky, passing by the cool breeze of night, under the street light with your girl, all through this world, your moment in time, a clear mind, a warm heart, a decent part of it all, and fine, better to be kind. Forget your riches. Give me the guy with the knishes. A couple of jokes. Everyday folks gotta carry the weight tomorrow, struggling not to carry it with sorrow, reaching for our place in the sun where Sam Cooke says a change is gonna come for each and every one. Respect come round from reaching down to give out with the sound that makes the world go round. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, never fear our fate to carry the weight, but still get over. Rover got no other way to go. He slow fades and fades away down the beach, out of reach, but day to day, today, it's in your mind to stay. Knishes, ice cold soda here.
Fabulous. One more time, our ode to the working class. This is one of the things we are about. And next up, to continue our program for today, I see Sister Betty has put a sign in front of me, Kasise Siddiqui, talking about her imprisoned father, who's in dire physical circumstances. That is, in a death camp where there is no medical care. Kasise, your mic is open.
Hi, good evening. It's good to hear your voice, and that was a beautiful poem. I must say this has been a heavy time for me because I have my parents, both of them are very ill. And my father recently wrote me and just explained to me that he, again, this is not the first time, has been neglected by the system and had not been given the proper care for his wounds, which have gotten bad again. He has, because of the support that I've gotten and people calling the prison again, he has received the antibiotics. But in terms of getting a wound specialist, he still needs that. Again, you know, he has been dealing with a prison where, you know, COVID, I mean, there are lots of people that have died in where he is, and in terms of everybody being on top of each other and just not getting the kind of care that he needs. And this has been an ongoing thing. And it's just, it's stressful. It's really, it's hard. It's hard for me to hear what he's going through and not always be able to respond immediately, or for him to get the kind of care that he needs immediately. So it's very painful for me. I did receive an email from him the other day. Again, he's getting the antibiotics, but he still needs a wound specialist. So I have a heavy heart this evening. I do. Again, I have a heavy heart just for both my parents and just all of that they've done, the sacrifices, and just the being who they are, the warriors that they are, the soldiers, you know, being, well, you know, Panther, Black Panthers, and just, I'm just really seeing the results of all the work that they've done and both of them being, I can't even say elders, you know, just being my parents and being at in a place now where, you know, they're just very, very, it's kind of hard for me to talk about this stuff now.
Let me help you out.
Yeah.
We're hearing the voice of a family member of one of our warriors, Kamal Siddiqui. You have to understand that he could be home with us. All he had to do was give up Asada. All he had to do, give up Asada. Well, he chose to stand tall. He chose to stand for us all. What do we chose to do for him and his family and for the movement? We have to tune into Jericho. The information as to who to call is on the Jericho website. We must put pressure on not only the prison system, but this new democratic government. We go out and we vote for people. We act like political slaves. We do political work with no political remuneration. Free our political prisoners is what we must have. And if you don't go to the person you voted for to say, free Kamal Siddiqui, a hero of ours, free up his family to let them live for the years that we have in front of us, for they have given up the years behind us for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kasise, and hello to your folks. We're fighting for you. We're fighting
Thank
for
you.
You. Thank you for being on. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, just it's a continuous struggle, you know. Again, it's an ongoing struggle for him. And again, I've shared this many times that whenever anything is happening with him, he reaches out to me, and it's up to me to be his voice, you know. And thank you, you know. I love both of you and Sister Betty and you and just for continue to reach out to me, you know, when I need to speak about what's going on with my father. So that's what we have to do, you know.
Thanks.
We have to continue.
Your father, and he reaches out to you. Many of us have not forgotten him. We will bring him. Thank you so much for calling in. Sister Betty.
And what we're going to do is we're going to take a second diversion, but we're going to follow up Kasise's statement by letting Sister Ann Lamb fill in some details, because Brother Kamal Siddiqui is not the only one in this situation. But Brother Ralph talked about demands, and we have someone on our phone again this week, Sister Nellie Bailey, who had some interesting thoughts on making demands. But like I said, Brother Kamal Siddiqui is not the only one whose life is endangered as a result of the death camp. Sister Nellie Bailey, Harlem Tenants Association, a member of so many groups against foreign fascism. Sister Nellie, your mic is open.
Well, could
Thank
I
you,
could
Sister
I amend
Betty.
That? Oh, hold tight, Nellie. Sister Nellie Bailey, who has opposed American capitalism. Let's be clear what we're talking about here. American capitalism, the death of the indigenous, the promoters of American slavery like no other slavery in history. We're here in opposition to American capitalism. Call it what you want. Sister Nellie, your mic is open without interruption.
Well, that was, say, good for me, a segue into the reality of what faces us, and it is certainly not any hope on the Democratic Party. All one has to look at, first of all, look at Joe Biden. I think his racist history has been well established. There isn't any doubt about that. But let's just take it away from the identity politics, and they're singing us, say, a song every day about the role of black women in the election of this Democratic Party ticket, this victorious ticket. But let us take a look at Joe Biden's nominees. Let's start with the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd J. Austin III, retired military general. I think he was 4-star. He retired, I think, in 2017. And he is a board member of Raytheon, the third largest military contractor. That's who he is. Now, let's just go down the list here. And there is this Michelle Fornoy, who was served in the Obama administration along with Blinken, who has been nominated for Secretary of State, I believe, because the opinion is, and I think it's correct, this is just an extension of the Obama administration. And remember, in 2011, it was Obama who invaded Libya, and now years later, where black communities there, protected by Muammar Gaddafi, or have been driven out of their homes, murdered, women raped, women who look like us, yes, raped. And this is what the U.S. Government has done, and these are the actors who have been brought back on the stage. Let me go quickly down the list. There is Samantha Powers, who served under the Obama administration. She was ambassador to the UN, I think, from this was after the Libya invasion, and I think she came in 2017. And then we have Susan Rice, super war hawk. And then let's throw in Samantha Powers, Susan Hawk. And the last one, his latest announcement, is that of Victoria Nuland, who masterminded the overthrow of the Ukraine government in 2014. It ushered in real fascists. The Wall Street Journal reported that of the Nazi symbols and flags that were unfurled, so was the Confederate flag. And remember, all of this is under Obama. Well, the long and short of it, folks, not to go through everything, is that these folks, these neocons, are gearing up for war. And it seems as if the target will be Iran. The Trump administration is attempting to box the U.S. in with their last-minute foreign policies that the Democrats won't have the nerve to overturn. But they are no better. They are gearing up for war.
the overthrow of the government in Ukraine was a continuation of their pivot toward Russia. We have hopped out of the frying pan into the fire, and Joe Biden isn't our answer. U.S. imperialism is on the march. Just before Trump is leaving, he put Cuba back on the terrorist list, which is ridiculous because Cuba just got on the Security Council. So, well, just to end, this U.S. empire is collapsing. The emperor has no clothes, and it is before, and he is before the entire world. Alliances are shifting. Russia and China are together. And just lastly, as W.E. Du Bois taught us, we cannot separate our local politics from global politics. You can't do that. I mean, the world is going on around us, and we have to engage the world with our critical political analysis, as did Du Bois, as did Garvey. No, yes, they were on opposite sides here, but I'm just saying the whole notion is that of critical analysis. And that's it. Thank you, Ralph.
Well, thank you so much for that, Nellie. And as I say to all of my comrades and friends, let's stop spinning our wheels on Trump and Pence. They're gone. Let's start digging in on the things we need, like national care, like real work on the COVID problem, real work on the problems that we have had year after year, but they turn our heads, keeping our eye off the real ball. And keeping our eye on the ball, next will be Brother Tom Syracuse, who always has an educational position.
And please don't forget, this is about political prisoners. Everything you've got right now in terms of the opportunity to speak to the state came from this brother and brothers like him. And that is why the political agenda should be number one, because without them, we would still be back in the 1920s and the 1930s. Brother Tom, I think you have an interesting analysis. To everybody, we have extended the time, but we want everybody who speaks to be mindful, as Sister Nellie was, that there are a lot of people waiting to contribute tonight. Brother Tom, your mic is open. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. You know, this recent occupation of the by protesters of the nation's Capitol building in Washington wasn't the first time that thousands occupied a Capitol building. 10 years ago, February 2011, Wisconsin's Republican Governor Scott Walker and the state legislature passed a bill called Act 10 that ended the ability of public sector workers to collective bargaining. What do we mean by public sector workers? Well, those workers that work for the state or municipalities, like teachers or public transit or firefighters or policemen, anybody that works for the state or the municipalities. An estimated 100,000 public sector workers and their supporters occupied the state capitol building in Madison, Wisconsin, and the adjoining square. Even some police joined the protesters in the building. The protesters, the state senators decided it was time to run out the back door, including the governor himself. The protesters remained in control of the Capitol building in Madison for 1 month. Damage and cleanup costs were estimated at $8 million. Death threats were made to those legislators who voted for that bill. And the Democrats issued a wanted to recall Governor Walker. Well, the election of Wisconsin Supreme Court was also at stake. Supreme Court conservative incumbent David Prosser was reelected, maintaining conservative control of the court. Both sides claimed voter irregularities, and the Democratic opponent called for a recount. And this was carried out, but Prosser was finally declared the winner. Much of the mass media and the unions characterized this event as a constitutional and legitimate right of protest. But the corporate Democratic Party failed to convince the Wisconsin voters to vote Democratic in the next election. So Wisconsin has become another, quote, right-to-work state in which public sector union members are not required to pay dues. Public union public sector unions membership has plummeted. Health and pension benefits and wage increases have been severely curtailed. Now, despite the earlier militancy of the two-month occupation of Wisconsin State Capitol, union leaders have not stepped up to the plate. These union leaders are connected very closely to the Democratic Party. Now, they could have called for a general statewide strike and shut the entire state down for as long as it would take to repeal Wisconsin's anti-labor laws. But they didn't. Now, in my opinion, the recent four-hour occupation of the nation's Capitol building in Washington could be described as another legitimate and constitutional expression of protest by those who mistakenly believed that the Democrats had committed fraud in the recent presidential election, and especially in the U.S. Senate election in Georgia. Yes, there were racists and fascists within the ranks of the protesters, but I believe that the majority were white working class, who really believed that there were fraudulent elections. Yes, they were manipulated by the fascist President Trump, but the white working class had been abandoned by the corporate Democratic Party for many years as that party drifted to the right. So their anger will not disappear once the ultra-conservative Biden administration takes over the government. And neither will the anger of the multiracial public sector workers disappear with the policies of the Biden administration. My hope is that the entire working class, white, people of color, will finally come to the realization that the two corporate parties will not come to their rescue. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tom Syracuse. And on top of that realization, the thing that sticks in my mind is the different reaction of the state. Remember Kent State, young, white, leftist, anti-war, just demonstrating. They didn't take over any buildings, standing on the mall and being shot. 8 killed, I believe, at a national. he wounded. And so whenever any takeover is mentioned, my mind cannot from flipping back to the different reactions of the state. Never mind what they say about it. The reactions cannot come back. Thank you so much for that, Tom. Your conclusion is excellent. We must keep it in mind. And further, next up, our interminable Ann Lamb, whose political work has done it for so many years. I could take all of the program to sing the praises of the two Anns who the work we Ann Jaffe and Ann Lamb. Ann Lamb, your mic is open.
New York City,
Jerry. Ann Lamb.
Thank you so much, Brother Ralph, Sister Betty. Always an honor to be on your program. We are the two Anns from the Boogie Down. Don't forget, we are from the Boogie Down Bronx. So that somehow is important, too. Well, as you heard Kishu say, you know, is emotional about her dad, and her mom is also not well right now, so you can see she's under a lot of stress. But we need to call to the Augusta State so-called medical, and I have enough prison, and see if we can either speak to the chief medical facilitator, Dr. Mary Alston, which is not highly likely to happen because of HIPAA and all that stuff, or to the warden, and his name is Ted Philbin, P-H-I-L-B-I-N, Ted Philbin. And the number to call is 706-855-4700. That's 706-855-4700. You can also find this, of course, on both the JerichoMovement.com as a news item. It's the first one there. And also on JerichoNY.org, if you don't remember, or if you want the complete address so you can write. He needs a wound specialist. He's been asking for several years now to have a wound specialist come and look at what is going on with his left foot. And this is, you know, has been coming on off and on for a couple of years now. There was one time in the past where his whole leg had turned black and they weren't changing his bandages. It was just horrible. And you have to use his government name when you call. You do not recognize his name, Kamau Siddiqui, even though he legally changed his name. But he is known as Freddie Hilton officially by the imperial state. So, and his ID is 1150688. Always important. They know damn well who he is, but they'll pretend they don't if you don't have his Georgia prisoner ID number. And you do get sometimes get sarcastic remarks from some of these people in the prison. Some callers have been told, he seems to be a real popular guy with all the calls that have come in. We don't care about that. We want them to do the right thing and have a wound specialist come and examine his foot and provide appropriate treatment. And, you know, Kamau has several other serious comorbidities. He's in the middle of a place that where COVID is running rampant. He's an elder, you know, and we certainly don't want him to lose his foot, and we certainly don't want to lose him inside these horrible. So that's one thing that's really important that just came up that people should really focus on. I think that you already explained, Ralph, you know, why he's in prison, because he refused to betray the mother of his other daughter, Rukulu. So, you know, he and Sundiata Kohli, more than anybody else, are paying the price for Asada being free. And, you know, that is a price that they, being the wonderful people they are, were willing to pay. But that's not a price that we have to be willing for them to pay. You know, there's no need to keep Sundiata Kohli in prison until forever. He's about to be 84 years old on Friday. I would encourage people to write to Sundiata for his birthday, even if he gets it after his birthday. His address is up and about on all our websites. He's in Maryland in a federal prison, even though he's a Jersey State prisoner. So Sundiata, who's about to turn 84, got a 15-year hit at his last parole hearing. All right, so that means he wouldn't go back to the board until he's 98, something like that, you know, if he was still alive. So, you know, it makes it clear what this government is all about as far as our political prisoners are concerned. They want them all to die in prison, and if they're not actively trying to kill them, they'll passively try to kill them, however they can. So that's important, too. And also, of course, we have the ongoing situation with Russell Maroon Schultz. He has received his surgery, we are happy to say. We don't know how successful it was or not. One doctor had told Maroon he was cancer-free, and then he said, oh, I really can't say that. You know, so we'll see. But so far, he's feeling well. He feels much better. He was sending his regards and thanks to everybody, as always. And, you know, we need to keep the pressure on and see if we can bring him home, because that's where he needs to be. So in addition to planning to have some upcoming events that people can also check out, people should call Governor Tom Wolf. That is the governor of Pennsylvania. He has the power to just pick up a pen and sign what in Pennsylvania is called a reprieve, which is basically a commutation of sentence to time served, and let the man come home and be with his family. So the number to call is 717-787-2500. That's 717-787-2500. You can find this on jerichony.org as well. It's right on the first page. And we're still continuing the compassionate release efforts for Dr. Mitula Shakur, due to the COVID. So if people have not already signed that petition, they can certainly do so. And we also have, of course, our brother Ed Poindexter, once again, ongoing calls to the Nebraska Board of Pardons to try to, A, show that the man has support, and, B, put some pressure on them to actually go ahead and commute his sentence of time served. The man has been in prison for 50 years for a crime that everybody knows he did not commit. And, you know, they just don't want to let him go because they never want to say that they made a mistake. And also, of course, they want him to pay the price for the cop who got killed. But, you know, these are very serious things. And no matter who's in power in the White House, because it doesn't matter, they're all the same. They're U.S. imperialists. They are, you know, white supremacists, many of them. And, you know, we need to hold their feet to the fire, man. We got to do it. So this is our, you know, brothers and sisters behind the walls. And they're facing, you know, a death sentence when they were never sentenced to death. So, you know, it really behooves us to make some minor actions to help save their lives. It is really, really important. I cannot stress it enough. So what do we say all the time? We say, what's the call? Free them all.
Free them all.
And we mean it. Free them all. This is the year to free them all. 2021, we are going to try to pull out as many people as we can. Leonard Peltier. Yes, we have said his name. You know, Sundiata, Mitulu, Bill Gunn, Jan Lahman. You know, we've got a whole bunch of people inside who have been inside since the 60s and 70s. And it's way time to bring them home.
Go to Jericho website and hear and see those names and see what we can do. We must flood those prisons. And my brothers and sisters, I say it again, we must talk to the politician you voted for, remind them who made it possible for them to run, to get the place that we are now. Although I wonder where is the place we are now, but we're able to talk about it. Jericho website, Mr. Ann Lam, Jihad Abdul Mumit, look at those names and serve those people. Serve yourself. Sister Betty.
One thing I'd like to say to people is no donation is too small. Jericho needs your money. Sometimes the thing that's between life and death is when a Jericho representative shows up to visit a prisoner. And somebody like Sister Ann Lam is invaluable with that. She never stopped visiting Jaleel. She never stopped visiting Robert Seth Hayes. She never stopped visiting Herman Bell. And that's why they got out to be with us before. In the case of Robert Seth Hayes, we lost him. So please, please, go to the Jericho website. Even if it's just $10, please. I mean, Sister Ann Jaffe and Sister Ann Lamb, they brought food, fresh food to the prison every weekend for these brothers. Surely you can do something on the Jericho Pen Pal donation page. Thank you. Without further ado, because we do have a lot of mics waiting to be heard, before we go to Louisiana, we've got to get an update on what Brother Joel reported to us last week. Brother Joel Meyer, your mic is open.
And remember this, brother, you can look back on the website, not on archives of this program, and hear his explanation of what the white worker, an unemployed white person, thinks they are getting from this Trumpism, American capitalism. Joel, your mic is open.
And please remember, there's a lot of people waiting after you. Go ahead, Brother Joel.
Yes. I realize this week a lot of things are overshadowed by the events that took place in the Capitol on January 6th, and the very large reactionary mobilization of armed people who were determined to change the result of the election and to continue a second term of Trump with a great deal of more pronounced and more uninhibited white supremacy in terms of the, among other things, in terms of the what a second term would have looked like. But anyway, what I was taught, but anyway, to get back to the other topic, what we were discussing last week was the impact of the vaccines, which are so marveled, and everybody is supposed to say, wow, how wonderful science is. But let's remember that science in the hands of a reactionary ruling class, a tiny handful of billionaires and trillionaires, when they've got that kind of science under their control, that could be used for good, but in their hands, it's generally used to the opposite, for evil and for genocidal purposes. So while they marvel at the vaccines that are coming out right now, and they hype them and distort the real effects of the fact that they haven't been tested and so on, let's not neglect the fact that science in their hands enables them to create pandemics in the first place. So it's like having a fire department of arsonists that are paid a premium for every fire that they put out, tempting them, of course, to start the fires. I have to explain that. In this particular situation, they're coming up with a number of vaccines to supposedly end the pandemic that they unleashed through developing the COVID-19 virus and spreading it around and starting this pandemic and using it to fulfill a gigantic agenda. There is no denial that this is a real disease, but what frequently is denied is how it came to be a real disease and that it's not only a disease, but an agenda to lock everyone in the world down. And the COVID disease is only part of the problem. The virus, the vaccines may turn out to be worse. And I'll explain why, as I did last week. It's a little bit technical, so it may not have been well understood. But this is a brand new type of vaccine that never before has been used en masse. It's a it's what they call a messenger RNA vaccine, where previous vaccines had a homeopathic method, where a weakened form of the pathogens of the disease virus are injected into the person, and that trains the immune system to fight against other forms of that disease and to prevent you from getting sick, from being infected in the first place, like the smallpox vaccine, for example, which was the pioneer vaccine. This is different because instead of injecting the weakened form of the coronavirus into people, it injects something called RNA, or ribonucleic acid, into your bloodstream. And the blood carries that to various cells that absorb it. And when the RNA gets into your cell, it reprograms your DNA. That's the deoxyribonucleic acid, which is the genetic material that helps your cell function. It reprograms that so that it produces particles of the disease virus. So your own cell produces the disease virus, and then this supposedly also provokes your immune system to go after that disease virus, trains it to go after that, and unfortunately, however, there's a large danger, which has been written about in the CDC materials themselves. There was an article in the British medical journal, BMJ.com, about this entire problem, and another article in the Jerusalem Post that I came across. And what they do is they raise the question of this training your immune system to go after your own cells. And that means that you could develop what's called an autoimmune condition. And these conditions can be devastating. They can be deadly. One example of a chronic autoimmune deficiency condition is, for example, multiple sclerosis. AIDS, another disease that was created in a lab, a suddenly rising disease that nobody had ever heard of before, that attacks only targeted sectors of the population. What does AIDS stand for? Autoimmune deficiency syndrome. I think I got that one a little bit wrong, but the thing is that that the virus can set your body up so that you become allergic to yourself. And this can have the chronic form like multiple sclerosis, or it can have an immediately deadly form because, for example, your heart cells or your brain cells may become the targets of your immune system. This is a condition that could take some time to develop. It's admitted that it hasn't been tested against. And they even say, well, these vaccines shouldn't be given to people that are prone to autoimmune conditions. But we're all prone to autoimmune conditions if our own cells are giving off disease protein matter that our immune systems are then trained to go after and destroy. So this is a very dangerous thing. And there are two vaccines that have come out which are not based on the messenger RNA, that are more or less old-fashioned vaccines. One of them is called Sputnik V, and it was developed by the Russians, and it was given a very, very high recommendation in Lancet magazine, which is the top prestigious medical magazine in the United Kingdom, and it also Anyway, they gave it a very favorable write-up, said that it was very infectious, infectious, and
did you wind up?
Does not have this autoimmune trigger danger. So I just want to, I want to wind up by coming back to the other thing, because I think it's very important that the takeover of the Capitol building by white supremacist aligned forces that want even more of a police state and even more genocidal policies are that may have been a warm up for what's coming, starting on the 16th, when there's supposed to be demonstrations like that in every one of the 50 state capitals, and then culminating in Washington, D.C., in an effort to apparently stop the inauguration from taking place. So I think people should be alert, and we should be asking, where are the counter demonstrations to these things? Okay.
Thanks. So, yeah, it's very important. We gave a lot of time for that because these are issues that we must be aware of and be ready to confront. Sister Betty.
All right. We want to get in some of the people who were last week. And even as we speak, more people are getting on the call and sending us texts. So Brother Henry Higgins, your mic is open. This is a strong advocate for political prisoners, in particular Mumia Abu-Jamal, but he's more than that. He's a scholar as well. Brother Henry, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and greetings, sisters and brothers. Tonight I'd like to share with you an editorial that came out in December from Workers' World, and it deals with Trump and Somalia. The outgoing president took another deceptive public step on December 2nd. He ordered the remaining 700 troops out of Somalia. These troops are part of the U.S. AFRICOM force that promotes U.S. imperialist interests throughout Africa. They were first deployed to nearby Kenya, also in East Africa. The U.S. troops have been carrying out extensive drone warfare against the Somali-based organization Al-Shabaab. Besides withdrawing troops from Somalia, Acting Defense Secretary Christopher Miller announced administrative plans in November to reduce U.S. troops from 3,000 to 2,500 in Iraq and 4,500 to 2,500 from 4,500 to 2,500 in Afghanistan by mid-January. Both big capitalist parties have started wars. Don't expect this to change. Republican as well as Democratic administrations have ordered since 1990 major aggressive wars against Iraq, Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, Iraq again, and with smaller forces against Syria, Libya, and Ukraine. They have carried out strikes against Africa, engaged in subversion aimed at overthrowing progressive governments in Latin America. The Republican and Democratic Party establishments share a common foreign policy goal to maintain, if possible, increased U.S. economic and strategic U.S. domination of the world. The Pentagon, the State Department, the CIA, and various other sectors of the state apparatus enforce this strategy, regardless of which party is running the government. Every invasion, bombing, or other intervention by the United States has led to enormous suffering in the countries targeted, often with millions in victims, with millions of victims. The intervention shower U.S. military interventions with profits. While the pretext for these interventions can be women's rights, or stopping terrorism, most often the real reason is to grab resources, usually oil, or to eliminate a strategic problem. U.S. imperialism's economic and moral authority declines compared to imperialist rivals, Europe, Japan, and especially to socialist China. Washington turns to weapons where it is still number one. Thus, the drive to maintain hegemony pushes the world toward war, no matter which party holds office. And that's important to remember. Also, for people who want to get a better assessment of the Barack Obama administration, is a good book that was written by Paul Street some years ago entitled The Empire's New Clothes, Barack Obama and the Real World of Power. And one of his main objectives and tasks that he had to complete was the implantation, so to speak, of AFRICOM throughout Africa. So one of the reasons why Obama was elected president was for him to complete this assignment. Him doing it as an African was easier than a European-descended president carrying out the same objective. And I'll just leave it there because we have to realize that both the Democrats and Republicans are two wings of the same bird, and their main mission is to support and protect imperialism. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Henry Higgins. And I say, end the war against people at home, end the war against people abroad. It's the same struggle. Sister Betty.
Brother Daoud, your mic is open, and I see we have guests from Louisiana and from Boston, and they are up next. Brother Daoud, our comrade and supporter of the Jean-Jacques people, your mic is open.
Greetings, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph, everyone else on the line. Just a quick call. I came in late. I don't know if earlier you guys spoke about today, January 12th, the 11th anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti. Anyway, it's 316,000 people. That's the number dead that the government had reported at the time. And today was a day of mourning for the people in Haiti and Haitians and other people who work around Haiti, outside of Haiti as well, but also a day of protest for us because everyone knows that billions of dollars were raised to help rebuild Haiti, to bring support to the people who lost just about everything in this tragedy. But this money never made it to the country. And in particular, the Clinton family, who was in charge of these billions through different means for the past 5 years, our organization, Komokoda, we've been protesting outside the foundation. There are different offices in New York City. And today as well, we were there from noon to 3 p.m. to protest. So I came in to listen, but also, if the time permitted, to say thank you to everyone on this line, the listeners of this program, who made a donation, who gave any kind of contribution, solidarity prayers, whatever, with the Haitian people on this sad day 11 years ago. And to thank also Sister Betty Ralph, who are always at these protests with us at the Clinton offices in New York City. So I'll just be brief and just thank you. And I'll be listening. I'm continuing to listen. Thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you so much, Daoud. And talk about an injury to one is an injury to all. When our movement to support Lynn Stewart was in dire economic straits at the same time that the people of Haiti were suffering their tragedy, the people of Haiti reached out and gave us great support. I will never forget this circumstance. So all of us could reach into our pocket, whatever we've done, do a little more. People have hurt to help others. And so maybe we're hurting and maybe we're not. But we got to dig deeper and do better. Help the people of Haiti, help the political prisoners, help those who support our political philosophy. Sister Betty.
Before we go to Brother Kazi, Brother Daoud, do you want to give them a website where they can make a donation?
No, just thank you. There's no, we're not raising money for anything specific right now regarding Haiti, but just thank you for the support that everyone has given. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Brother Kazi, your mic is open. Sister Dolores, hang in there.
Give thanks, Sister Betty. Brother Ralph and Brother Daoud, you know, yes, man, give thanks, you know, to Haiti and the unity we must all have, just like Ralph was talking about, you know. How y'all doing tonight, man?
Well, we're hanging in there, doing our damnedest to get this thing going, because we, the progressive people, must do better. We must change. We must do the things we talk about. We must not be led astray by false prophets.
You know, Ralph, and it's exactly right. And looking back over the last week, and, you know, like what happened on the 6th, and, you know, like me, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, well, I got charged with sedition. You know, nobody was killed, nobody died. You know what I'm saying? But Mueller, what Mueller told me at the time was anybody that stands up and says something and then other people go out and do it, then you're in a conspiracy with them. You know, so if we're all in this together, you know, and I'm not advocating for people to go to jail, you know, but like there's a lot of people like Move 9, you know, like, you know, Mumia and a lot of other people, Sundiata, sitting in jail, you know, for things that these people, they took bombs in there and guns in there, kicked in the doors, went up in there to try and get those ballots, you know. And if they could have got them ballots, then Trump would have been saying, you know, I don't care what you people saying, you know, like Democrats wouldn't have done shit about it. You know what I mean?
Right on.
And
right on.
But,
the double
and they had the
gallows
set up for to hang, you know, what's her name? The woman there, Shula and Schumer and Pelosi.
Pelosi.
You know, yeah. You know, like, I mean, if they don't, if the people don't rise up and unite and see that we can't, you know, continue to live here, in this, especially the police showed who they were favoring. You know what I mean? So how could we ever think about reforming that, man? How could we ever think about reforming that?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
We have to put pressure. We have to put pressure on these people, man. Like they're not gonna indict Trump for and charge him with sedition and conspiring to overthrow the government. They're not gonna do that with all those people. So they should just let Sundiata out, let Camus, let all our political prisoners go free. And, in fact, they should free them all, man. Everybody except for those who, you know, are beating on women and child molesters. They should free them all, man.
Okay. Okay, you heard it from Kasi Torre, ex-political prisoner
out of great act.
All right, that was Boston Jericho in the house. And since we are talking about how we ought to be acting, I'm going to take time for a commercial. Brother Mark Torres, the People Pueblo Party, your mic is open. Give us that commercial about January 18th.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph. Thanks for letting me speak. So, you know, a lot of folks have brought out great information and, you know, there isn't just a Trump and fascist. There's a fascist movement. I think we could all see that from what happened at the Capitol and from, you know, the continuing organizing that's being done. But I think, you know, if we reflect on Chairman Fred Hampton from the Black Panther Party in Chicago, the way that we defeat the fascist is by doing our organizing work. The way we defeat the fascists is by addressing the problems that poor and working people have in this country, European American, African American, Native American, Latinos, Asian Americans. Is we got to get into the streets. We got to talk to the people. We got to organize with the people. We have to help the people solve their problems. That was one of the great strengths of the Black Panther Party, the Young Lords Party. Any movement that has grown in this country and been successful at anything, whether it's the workers' movement, the gay movement, the women's movement, is because they've been in the community working with people, organizing people, empowering people, doing the political education. And so we have a group, national group called the People's United Front, and it's in the spirit and in the vision of what Fred Hampton was teaching us. You know, it's going to be great if people voluntarily just abandon fascist ideas. That would be great, but it doesn't work that way. We have to go out there and we have to erode the base for the fascists, because what happens is that fascists have never taken over unless there was collusion between them and the elites. And right now the elites are trying to clamp down and put them on ice, you know, that whole stand back, stand down thing. And so, but we can't depend on the elites, the police and the FBI, the police state, to protect us from the fascists. We have to build and grow our movement. So next Monday on January 18th, there's going to be a national day of action around Dr. King's holiday. And there'll be activities in Baltimore, in the Oakland area, in Detroit, New York City. And so we're asking everybody, if you're in the New York City area, to come down to 125th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard, across from the Harlem State Office Building. From 2 to 4, we'll be mobilizing there and speaking on many, many different issues. What we're trying to do is connect the dots from the issue of political prisoners and mass incarceration all the way to the issue of ICE, closing ICE detention centers. We're talking about public education. We're talking about public housing and housing for the people. We're talking about jobs for the people. We got to have a full program that then we could organize and defeat the fascists. And if people don't think this is important enough, then they need to see what's really going on in this country and the direction that we're heading in. It's no longer just, oh, Trump is a fascist. Trump is the leading figure in a fascist movement, which was abetted. And what happened at the Capitol was some cops, of course, were fighting them. They killed that young woman. But then the other cops were part of that. And we have to remember that the police unions, many of them, including the one in New York City, endorse Trump for president. And so if we're serious about fighting fascism, and we're calling it Trumpism because the people in the streets know that anything associated with Trump is bad, and that gives us an opportunity to educate them about what fascism is. And if we're serious about that, then we all need to come together. And so next week, Monday, 2 to 4 p.m., we're going to be on 125th Street. We're also going to have a car caravan coming from the Audubon Ballroom, which is historic because Malcolm spoke and was killed there, and also Don Pedro Albizu Campos spoke there. And before I leave, I just, you know, there was a lot of issues raised about COVID and vaccines. There's a great book, because sometimes we get so caught up in doing the necessary work that needs to be done that we forget that we can do our own research, right? And so I'm going to throw out there a book. It's called How to Survive a Pandemic by Dr. Michael Greger. About a third of the book is research and his resources and references. So we can't stop doing political education, whether it's around COVID, whether it's around the fascists in this country. And so I just want to put that out there, How to Survive a Pandemic by Dr. Michael Greger. And I'm hoping that everybody's out in the streets. And for those who can't be out in the streets on the 18th, join a car caravan. Participate in a virtual event. But we have to come together, and we cannot depend on the state, the security apparatus of the police to defend us. So all power
all right.
to people. And thank you all. Love you all so much. And have a good night.
Mark, before you go, yes. Tell them how to access the virtual event, please.
Okay, so I'm going to put out my number. The easiest thing for me to do is put out my number, and that way folks who have any questions about the virtual event, the car caravan, or the speak out on 125th Street, just give me a call, 646-271-0129. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark. 646-271-0129. Sister Dolores, thank you for your patience. Sister Belinda, and Brother Val, hang in there. Go ahead, Sister Dolores.
Hi, everyone. I first want to recommend that folks go back and listen to Gloria J. Brown Marshall's program this morning on BAI. She had Dr. James McIntyre on from CMOTAP, and he gave a psychiatric analysis of Trump. Very, very interesting. Also, last week I reported on Connecticut becoming the first state to mandate that their public high schools include Black and Latino studies in their curriculum. Tonight I want to mention that Paterson, New Jersey, after 30 years of being run by the state, gets local control of their schools. And that happened last Wednesday on June 6th. There's a reason June 6th will go down in history last Wednesday, but not because of this. So the state took control of Paterson schools in 1991 amid allegations of widespread corruption, including fiscal mismanagement, nepotism, and a host of serious problems. This move now means that parents will now have some say in how the schools are run, and the city can determine its own future. The Governor Phil Murphy said that this resolution that was adopted on June 6th marks a momentous day for Paterson Public Schools. This milestone, he said, is made possible due to the dedication of the district's school board, administrators, educators, and students who have conquered the challenges they faced. I am confident, he says, that the Paterson Public Schools will continue to provide our students with the high-quality education that they deserve. The city had to meet a list of criteria, including getting students' grades up, but the current superintendent is calling this a momentous day, that's January, made possible by the dedication of the district school board, administrators, educators, and students. They had a two-year transition period, and now the schools are currently closed, you know, because of the virus, and it's unclear when the schools will be returning to the buildings. But they decided to put the district on a path to local control. The end of this is mentions that there was a second school district to be withdrawn from state control under Governor Murphy's administration. That State Board of Education returned full local control to Newark Public Schools this past July. I read up on that, and I'll be reporting on that next week. It's very interesting. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that, Dolores, keeping us aware of what's happening. And as we say, what's happening, what will happen, keep up with these updates and you'll understand. Sister Betty.
All right, we've been waiting. We've got somebody who's waiting in the wings, but before we speak to that person, Sister Belinda Parker Brown of the Louisiana United International has some updates for us. Take out your pens or your cell phones to record this. There's got to be follow-up. Sister Belinda, thank you for your patience. Your mic is open. And please understand, we believe in community control of education. That's why we give prominence to Sister Dolores. New York City is under mayoral control. Shortly organizing to stop it. And this is going to be one of the main stations to go after and make guarantee the end of mayoral control of education in New York City. So stay tuned, folks. Go ahead, Sister Belinda. Your mic is open. And thank you, Sister Dolores.
All right, Sister Betty, wow, thank you so much. I every time I hear your voice, you and Brother Ralph, it just enlightens me, excites me, ignites me, because I know you guys are about action. And I just want to, you know, from the bottom of my heart, thank you all so very much, because I got the proof that what you do, it works. And I just want to say thank you, because we just recently, contacted you guys in regards to Pastor Victor. We were successful with a phone blast, you know, calling that prison, shook them people up, turned them inside out, you know, had them shaking like Don Knox, and all because I know when I call on you guys, something is going to happen. But in regards to that, we still have to be ready for any type of retaliation, and that's what they did to Pastor Victor. The phone calls were rolling in, and those people could not handle it. I'm telling you, they snatched him up you know, released him from the jail and took him all the way out of the state of Louisiana to Mississippi, 5 or 6 hours away from where he was supposed to be. And they stuck him in another hellhole jail that is worse than where he was at. But we know that's because they did that because we're winning and that we were putting the pressure on them. But now that Pastor Victor is there in this Cataluda Parish where it's a private prison where they barely even have running water in there. He said the toilets won't hardly flush in there because the water intake is so poor. The food is terrible slop that they're feeding them. He also said that they got pipes sticking out the wall where they have to take showers and they don't allow them no soap. You know, it's horrible there. And he said, it's you know, he's doing everything to contain himself because he can't stand to see this type of unrighteous taking place. But at the same time, you know, he's hanging in there. He's staying strong. You know, we were able to convince him not to go on a hunger strike because he wanted to, you know, just, you know, do that in regards to saying that people are being done wrong. He'd rather be dead than to be treated this way. So I just want to say right now our plan of action is that we, you know, we haven't materialized it yet, but we got a game changer and we need help. We got a game changer, and Brother Ralph, you and Sister Betty know what I'm talking about. I text you the other day. I'm not really ready to put it out there in the broadcast right now, but we need money. We need money for this game changer, and I'm telling you, it's going to shake up the whole world because we want Pastor Victor to become known. We want you know, all of the mainstream media and everything to have his face pasted on their TV because this is what it's all about right now. But we need money in order to pull this off. We gotta, you know, we gotta pay for some fees and registration and some you know, legal stuff that we need to do for him. So when I'm saying this, Sister Betty, I know when I call your show that the people are ready for action, and we need action right now in Louisiana to help Pastor Victor. And what I'm asking everybody to do, we have a legal defense fund. You know, if you don't give but a dollar, every little bit is going to help us pull this game changer off, and that's going to shake up the world. And I'm telling you, you will not regret it. If you don't give but, you know, your pocket change or whatever it is, I want you to go to my website, and I want you to, click on our PayPal link, you know, make a donation if it ain't but a dollar. I'm serious. I'm not going to beg nobody because you really got to understand what this is about. This is about the freedom of thousands of people that have been wrongfully incarcerated. Pastor Victor is an innocent man. We have all the facts. We're going to be, you know, we can prove that without a doubt. But these people are not going to admit that they got it wrong. They're not going to raise their hands up and open up the doors and let Pastor Victor out without a fight because they know they were wrong and they know we got them. So I need help now. I need help. I got to raise at least $3,000 within the next 3 or 4 weeks or less. So I got to raise this money because I don't want to get into my personal issues, but it's serious now. I got to raise this money because I know this is going to be the game changer that's going to shake up the world. And Louisiana is, you know, everybody is going to see. And if they didn't know, they know now because our Attorney General, Jeff Landry, was at the Capitol a few days ago. He is the one that's prosecuting Pastor Victor. His office is the one that's prosecuting Pastor Victor. People, hear me what I'm saying. You can, I text you the link, Sister Betty. And this man is a devout racist. He is a wicked, evil leader here in the state of Louisiana that is the corporate behind all of these people being wrongfully incarcerated. And they're holding Pastor Victor like and kidnapping him right now as I speak because they got it wrong. They got it wrong. And I just want
want people to help me now. Help me, please help me. I'm begging for you to help. If it ain't but $1, $2, $3, whatever it is.
Sister Belinda, give us the website. We can't help you if you don't give us the information. I'm opening up your mic. Please give us the information.
Okay, our website is www.launitedi.org. That's www.la, stands for Louisiana United International, LAUNITED.org. And you can also call me at 985-503-0626. That's 985-503-0626. Thank you so much, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We understand that's a very dire circumstance. And welcome to the American Gulag. Sister Betty.
Before we let Brother Ralph take us home and we open up all the mics, we want to see if Brother Val has a few comments that he'd like to make before we turn the mic back over to Brother Ralph.
Yes, good evening, brothers and sisters. First of all, I want to thank you all for your prayers and support in my recently dodging a health issue, dodging a bullet on the health issue. Of course, you know, bullets are continuously flying. You know, some have also lodged into our bodies, not just mine, but many of you also in this audience. As one note, I had several notes, but I'll just, comment on one note, in terms of speaking of my gratitude for your support and prayers. Let's also recall the Reverend Martin Luther King, whose commemorative anniversary is coming up in less than a week. I just want to leave you with one insight. I'm actually disturbed because, as Brother Ralph and Sister Betty will attest, you know, I am pretty qualified to talk about the following topic. The Reverend Martin Luther King, often invoked, the so-called goodness and the so-called spirituality of Mahatma Gandhi. But clearly, over the years, several of his own autobiographies, that is Mahatma Gandhi's autobiographies, have revealed in his own handwriting that he clearly detested, the African people where he spent a lot of time during his businesses in South Africa. You know, he wrote really vile opinions, of the African. He demeaned them to kind of lower than animal standards, and that is really outrageous considering the media, and the authors and the professors in our universities do not seem to not just recognize that, but even remind us of that reality, of that duping, as we mentioned throughout this tonight's broadcast. We've got to be aware of how we are being duped, by so-called, carrots dangling before our eyes, only to be further regress, in terms of it's like moving one step forward and two steps backwards. And along those lines, let me also remind you that there's another soon-to-be occupant in the White House, who's along the lines of the great Mahatma Gandhi. So keeping in mind, and again, please verify everything I've said about Mahatma Gandhi's autobiography and his views, on the African people, vis-a-vis humans versus animals, quote unquote, this would give us an idea as to what the vice president, who for all practical purposes will soon be running the show, will bring to our home here in America. With that, I want to say good night and attend my platform over to Brother Ralph. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Val. It's a reminder of the realities of the world. And as quiet as it has been kept, there was almost a war for South Africa between the so-called blacks and the so-called browns. There's a whole history there that we don't know. And we must be aware that this American media is not educational. They lie. They talk about the issue of the day, the liberal issue of the day, but they do not talk truth that will educate us. They give us the wrong ball to look at. and now we are supposed to be involved in impeaching Mr. Trump. And I say, forget about it. You cannot impeach American capitalism. This is our history. We must intercede in that history, the new America, and we have to become a new progressive person. We have to end our selfishness and become selfless, like our political prisoners who taught us to fight without regard to race, religion, gender, age, etc. Join us. Allow us to join you. Good night, my brothers.
And don't forget to donate to Jericho. Go to the Jericho webpage. Don't forget to support the Angola prisoners. Go to the Louisiana United webpage. Thank you.
Love you all.